This is Jenny Allen, and you are listening to the Made for This podcast.
Thanks to HelloFresh for supporting Made for This. Go to HelloFresh.com/MadeForThis12 and use code MadeForThis12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. And now, here's Jenny.
Well, this season has already been a hit. You all love my husband. I love him too. We are actually celebrating our 24th wedding anniversary this week.
Happy anniversary.
We totally forgot, y'all. After 24 years, you wake up on that day and you're getting a kid off to
camp.
No.
I had a big plan. It's already been...
Yeah, right. No.
We have a whole weekend plan. Actually, I have a trip plan.
He's making all this up. We completely forgot our anniversary for the second year in a row, mind you. It's okay.
Wait, do you have your feelings
hurt?
The
good news, not at all, because I forgot too.
Okay.
Whew. Okay. So we real quickly made a reservation. We're going to go out to dinner. We'll be fine. But what I want to say is that it is so helpful to hear from you guys about this season, because we had a feeling, Chloe's idea to do one on decisions, that this would be really helpful for all of you. And it is, because to me, I mean, when Chloe asked us to do this, we both were like, this isn't a big deal. No, this is really strategic. This is actually something that we have mastered after 24 years, I would say, knock on wood, that we don't have to make any big decisions together and they blow up right now. But in large part, this has actually made our marriage. When you think about decision-making, it's such a part of life.
Yeah, so we are. We are making decisions every day, whether they're big or small, or we think they're significant or insignificant. I know that the things that we're talking about on this podcast might feel like they're the big rocks, like the big decisions. And they are. Those are vital. But decision making and filtering, how does God want me to, what direction does he want me to move in, is just a part of life. And it's actually a part of our daily just communion and walk with God. It's not something that we set aside and we just necessarily look at a spreadsheet. This is the God of the universe that's walking beside us, that's leading us. His spirit is in us, who is saying, seek me, seek me, seek my word, seek my people, and seek the leading of my spirit within you. This decision-making is not it's a spiritual process. And if you have a spouse, it's a really, really intimate bonding, sometimes full of conflict. Yeah. But making decisions is part of our everyday that we need to be good at. We need to learn. And so hopefully that's what this series is doing, is giving you guys hope that a long obedience over time of making decisions, hearing from God and walking with him, you just gain more and more confidence that he's not going to abandon you. He's going to lead you. He's going to put the right people around you, and he's going to show you where to go.
Today, we're actually going to talk about money and how we make decisions regarding money. Some of you are going to lose your minds over how we do this. You're going to be so uncomfortable. I remember I was talking to somebody whose whole life is teaching people to deal with their money. And even she was like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe y'all do this. So we're going to share a little bit about that. But before we do, you said something really interesting in that last little part about hearing from God. And I just want to be clear, and we've talked about this in the first episode, I believe, but hearing from God for us looks like several things. The first thing is the word of God. We know our priorities are based around what God's told us to care about. I mean, you can look at the history of our life and how we have chosen to steward money, and it's been based on priorities that God has given us, whether that's community and spending intimate time with people that we love, whether that is orphan care, whether that is giving to organizations that we believe in, whether that is generosity with our home and the things that God has given us. We definitely do not see anything as our own. Everything is God's, and he's given it to us for a season to steward it. And so before we get in there, I just want y'all to know that we see it as the word of God, hearing from God. Also, of course, the Spirit of God will prompt us sometimes to give to something, or even just which way do we go? How do we know what to do? And he gives us, I would say, just a nudge. I wouldn't say it's ever been a voice, or rarely been a voice, but we'll just have a peace about a direction. And because we both are surrendered to God, there's a trust that he's going to be clear with us and show us which way to go. And then thirdly, and this is the one I really want to talk about today, Zach, is community has been a huge way that we've heard from God, and people in our lives that surround us, that we let into the crevices of our lives, that we share the intimate details of our lives. Let's talk about that, because this is the part that's going to blow everybody's mind. Talk about our small group and specifically to do with financial decisions.
Yeah. So 24 years married, and I would say that 21 of the 24, we haven't fully lived this way. We haven't been in this kind of environment where we have had people this much involved in our finances, in our day-to-day, in how we steward what God has given us. And so we'll say the last 3 years have been so fruitful, so encouraging to have those safe people in our lives that know those things about us, that are encouraging us, maybe that are also calling us out. But we have a small group of five couples that annually we will put our budget together for the upcoming year. We will reflect on our previous year's budget and how we stuck to that or why we didn't stick to that and look at our stewardship goals that we had over the previous year and say, did we actually execute, or did God provide what we thought he was going to provide so we could give what we gave?
So Zach's saying this real matter-of-factly, but let me blow your mind with it for just a minute. So we sit down with all of our numbers, every bit of our income, every bit of our expenses, every bit of our giving, every bit of our, if there's any debt from houses or cars or anything, all is on paper. We take it to our small group. So every single person in the group does this. And we walk through with numbers all of our finances. And the thing people can't believe is that we put the numbers down. But that has probably been the most important part. Because I do think showing everybody everything, they have asked really hard questions and good questions. Also getting to see everybody else's numbers is so inspiring. Like, there's a couple in there that gives so much to so many organizations that it challenged all of us. We kind of gave to a handful, and they really give widely to a lot. And it just, it made us feel more creative and think out of the box. I think watching other people and how they steward money has caused all ships to rise. Like, we all have in different areas had weaknesses in our finances that we have grown in because of watching other people and the way they live, the way they give, the way they keep up with things. I would say that was one of our weaknesses, is as long as we weren't getting into trouble, we didn't really keep up with how much we were spending in different categories. And then when we did, you were like, dang it, like, we eat out a lot. Like, you start to notice spending patterns that you don't really notice because it doesn't feel like we eat out that much because it's maybe once or twice a week. But when you put it down on paper over the course of a year and there's extra times in there and you go on trips and stuff, you start to realize, wow, that's really a lot, which causes you to think a little bit more about it.
Right. So what you're saying is both of us are visionaries and we're idea people.
High level.
And
not details.
We're not very good with details. And so
as long as we're not broke or the bank's calling, we think we're okay.
And so this is actually especially good for us because it's forcing us to do things that we probably wouldn't do to the level that we're doing. And we've got other small group members who are better in the details.
Yes,
they have strengths there that they can really push into some of the places where we might go, well, this is a little fuzzy, or I think this is about what it is. And they just keep pressing us in. Yeah. No, what is it? And you can't work with what you don't have clarity on. And so that's been helpful.
You've got to have really safe people to do this. I mean, we were nervous the first time, but our small group knows everything about us. And so by the time we were doing our finances, it didn't feel crazy. So you don't just sit down with anybody. But I mean, for those of you that are young, that aren't married yet, or maybe even you're newlyweds, reach out to your parents. If they were good with money, I promise you, they would love to help you. So think out of the box about who these people could be, maybe an older couple or two. But I would just say somebody needs their nose in your business, because this is a very important topic. Scripture speaks so much to it. In fact, I don't know that it speaks to anything more than this subject, because God knew that this was a place where people would, their hearts would be prone to be greedy. Their hearts would be prone to focus on it. Because honestly, if you have too little, which has been the majority of our marriage, or you have too much, there have been issues with both. It's a consuming thing, whether you have a lot or whether you have a little.
Right.
Or even if you just have exactly enough, you're going to have to be thinking about money a lot to be able to make sure that all fits, that it all works out.
Yeah. Whoever feels like they have exactly enough.
I know. Yeah.
So money is neutral, right? It's not inherently evil. It's how things get done. It's how organizations get funded. It's how businesses run. It's how profit is made. So we actually have the ability to give it away. And so money is inherently neutral. Our hearts often do something different with that. Either we villainize what money is and we look at it as evil, or we idolize it. And really, I guess this is idolatry on both ends. If you are a hoarder and all you can think about and talk about is money and how much you're saving, and it becomes an idol, or you're a huge spender, and or you're just greedy and you want to make the next $1 million. It can become the idol of our hearts, but it's not inherently evil. It's inherently neutral. And so doing this with our small group has been super helpful. I would say two things. The first time is going to be the hardest time. Once you go there the first time and everybody exhales because there's that anticipation, or whoever you're doing it with, I would say you're going to need, just go first, be the person that goes first, and people will follow after you. I would say the second thing is that you're going to have to fight. And maybe this is the case before you go first. You're going to have to fight thoughts of comparison, or maybe that's your fear of going into it, of why I wouldn't do that.
Well, that's why it needs to be really safe people too. Guys, you know how much I love HelloFresh. We use it weekly, and they aren't even sending it for free. We are just paying for it because we love it that much. So you can enjoy quality meals for less in the comfort of your home. HelloFresh's gourmet recipes like balsamic fig sirloin are over 72% cheaper than the average restaurant meal, according to Zagat's dining survey. My favorite meal that we have are the meatballs, and they have this Greek sauce that you pour on it. Y'all, my kids think I'm the fanciest cook ever because of how fancy this food looks. It doesn't just taste good, but it's actually beautiful. I love cooking with HelloFresh. They are America's number one meal kit, and there's a reason. And they are offering you 12 free meals, including free shipping, when you go to HelloFresh.com/madeforthis12 and use the code madeforthis12. HelloFresh offers 25 plus recipes every week with a huge range of flavors, cuisines, and ingredients, so you'll never get bored. Ingredients travel from the farm to your doorstep in under a week, so they are fresh. And eating healthier has never been easier. They have all different types of options, whether you're a vegetarian or you're just carb conscious. You can sign up for whatever plan you want for yourself and your family. Our family loves it. It helps us sit down and cook together and eat together, which is my favorite part of the day. HelloFresh offers convenient, contact-free delivery right to your doorstep for easy home cooking. And you can easily change your delivery days or food preferences and skip a week, whatever you need. Sometimes we do have to skip a week. So go to HelloFresh.com/madeforthis12 and use the code madeforthis12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. When we got married, we were living on $500 a month. Now, we were in college. Just so y'all know, we got married really young. My husband was playing college football at a small school in Tennessee, and we lived in married student housing. That was a thing. Yes, it was. And he had a scholarship. So that big bill was covered. But outside of that, we lived on $500 a month. And so we did red beans and rice. We did canned chicken because I didn't like tuna. We did creative things. And so we have lived on very, very little in our lives and had to make decisions. And I would say all of the decisions we made, whether it was with very, very little or with more, we have sensed a provision that God has given as we have submitted to him and just said, hey, we're going to do our best with this. What would you say to people right now that are saying, there's just not enough? And one thing I love is looking back, we tithed. Like even when there wasn't enough, we were still giving. So let's talk about giving for just a little bit, because it's such a value to us and how we did that. How did that work out for us? Because I can't imagine. I mean, looking back, there were so many lean years. And then even when we made more, it was a ministry salary, one ministry salary, and we had four kids. So what did that look like to you who managed our books to give still in the midst of not having enough?
Well, I think that was the first thought was that giving was not an option.
It's like taxes. You just set it aside right away.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as the paycheck came in, there was the portion that was set aside.
Okay. So now we have these kids that are becoming adults. We have one that is a senior in college, so he'll be heading into the world. What are things that you want him to know about money that you hope for him when he gets out and we're no longer paying his bills?
Yeah. So, I mean, the first thing for our oldest is that I want him to walk with no debt, that debt is your master. We talk to folks that want to go onto the mission field. And one of those requirements before going overseas on the mission field is a lot of those sending agencies will say, you have to retire your debt because that will keep compounding while you're on the mission field. Debt is your master as long as it is over you. And so that's the first thought of walking with no debt. But the second thought is, as I'm processing this with my son, he's choosing careers. It's really fun to listen to him talk about choosing a career, not about how much money it makes, but about how he can contribute to society and how God can use his work to bring him glory. That's something that is super fulfilling as a parent to hear your kids saying as they're graduating and moving into the workforce.
So another question is, what if my spouse and I do not agree on how to spend money? What would you say, Zach?
Well, I think that that's been one of the themes of conflict in our lives, is that when we aren't in agreement, when we don't seek each other's counsel and make a decision together on some of the medium purchases, that's where our expectations are different and that's where conflict happens. But I would say this, is that if you're married, when you and your spouse are making these decisions, the ramifications of these decisions, if they go well, if they don't go well, you're still united in your marriage together. And so you can deal with the consequences. We were walking through that with one of our small group members recently, who made a decision of a house to purchase. And they're both pretty risk averse. And that was my counsel to them, is this was not something that was super black and white, that there weren't any red flags. It was a green light from our small group, but it was a little bit more risky than the couple was used to making. And that was my counsel to them of, are you guys united? If you guys are united, then together you can handle what happens on the backside if this proves to be a good decision or not a good decision, but you made that decision together.
That's good. Bottom line, money is a tool, and it is a really powerful tool, and it is a tool that can cause a lot of good, and it also can become something that enslaves us. And so keeping it as a working tool in your life is your goal, not something that is a noose around your neck and you feel stuck forever. That wisdom and the counselors around you, possibly your parents or wise mentors, if you're young, peers, if you can find that in a small group setting, people that love God and want also to live lives that submit all parts of their lives to God, there is a peace that has come as we have taken these big decisions to a group of godly people and we've made these decisions together. Because what happens is we can articulate why we are doing something that we are doing. It isn't just a random spend. It has purpose built into it. And if we can't give that purpose, they'll call that out and this isn't something we're going to do. And so it has been just such a sharpening experience to share this with other people. I know it sounds crazy, y'all. And again, I say, make sure and find really safe people, but it is possible. Thank you guys so much for being part of this community. We do not take it for granted that so many of you show up week after week. If this is blessing you, we would love for you to go help this podcast be found by other people. And the way you can do that, first subscribe so that you actually get all of the episodes. You don't miss anything. It shows up right on your phone or on your device and you know when we have a new episode. And then also rate and review. Your rates and reviews help the charts and that helps people find the podcast. So that's why we care about that. And let's be real, it's really fun to read your stories. Sometimes it feels a little bit like we are just throwing all these words out into thin air. And then we go read your reviews and they're so thoughtful and kind and it means so much to us. Chloe and I will text each other, you know, just to encourage each other. Thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting this podcast.